Welcome to episode 31 of Autograph Weekly. Live from Ustream, it's Sunday night!
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacey Schaefer.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Benmar Martinez.
I'm Dave Stotler.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until Microsoft gives up on the tablet market. By the way, the keyword for today is Surface. The keyword is Surface. Know that word because you're going to use it later in the podcast. This is actually our first live show. We actually just had a hiccup with it, but hopefully this podcast goes fine. We're live streaming at ustream.tv. Basically, what this allows us to do is crowdsource the audience during the show. We can comment on some stuff that they type in chat. We'll also have a couple segments that'll include the audience. This will eventually be an every week thing, although it's not there yet. This is kind of our first run to see how it works. So let's go ahead and kick this off with the news. Stacey, what you got?
All right, I got a couple of quick stories here about some trading card product coming out. Both these are non-sports related, so it's always kind of cool to see these products when they come out. The first one is coming from Rittenhouse. It's a 2012 product from NCIS, and this is a set that's loaded with certified autos. Some of these names are Pauly Perret, Rocky Carroll, Brian Dietzen. And the cool thing about this is some of the special guests they've had on the show. There's a few of these autos in here, and one of them is actually comedy legend Bob Newhart, and it's actually his first certified autograph card, so that's pretty cool. And then also Cheryl Ladd's got a signed card in this set as well. And the second product I'm going to talk about real quick is also a 2012 product. This is from Cryptozonic or Cryptozaic or something like that. This is a Fringe product from Seasons 1 and 2. And this is another one of these. It's just loaded. This has got pretty much everybody that's been in the show. Small characters, the big characters, some of the names. Anna Torv, Joshua Jackson, Lance Reddick, Blair Brown, John Noble. And a lot of these are probably most of these are probably their first certified cards as well. So it's always kind of fun to learn about these products when they come out.
So they're just coming out with Fringe Season 1 and 2, like now?
Yep.
Wow. That tells you how behind the card sets are. But it seems like with the comic book movies, they come out like right after they're released. So, or even before on some of them. So, like, it's kind of weird how that works. All right, what you got, Ben?
All right, so my story this week's about a heckler and Tampa Bay's Rays manager, Joe Maddon, who's been getting a lot of slack for his reliever, Joel Peralta, having pine tar in his glove. And this heckler kept mentioning pine tar when talking about Maddon, and Maddon didn't respond until he gave him an autographed baseball smeared with pine tar, and it read, "Stick up for those you care about," which I thought was very interesting, that he basically, through all that crap he got, he just basically said he loves his player. So.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was really creative on Madden's part. I don't think Maddon actually signed the ball, but this guy tweeted it out after Maddon threw the ball to him. The guy is probably really excited when Maddon is like, "Oh, sweet, I'm getting a baseball, probably signed by Maddon." But it turns out it was just a jab at all of his jabs throughout the night. So that is a really cool story. We do want to mention that there is a video circulating of Priscilla Presley, Elvis Presley's ex-wife, and she was also in several movies. She was signing autographs and obviously got hounded by autograph hounds, which happens a lot these days. And one of her bodyguards took out the autograph hound. And there is video of this, so if you guys want to watch it, it's on all the autograph forums and all the groups on Facebook that relate to autographs. I'm sure you can find it. Just type in Priscilla Presley bodyguard autograph, and you should be able to find it in Google. But you definitely want to watch that video if you haven't seen it. I'm sure most of you have, but we do want to mention it because if you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Just send her a TTM.
So when you see paparazzi on the street, just tackle the hell out of them.
If you're a security guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can send to her TTM. Of course, you know, you never know TTM if it's legit or not, but she does seem to sign pretty well TTM, so that's a plus. My new story is about a legend, Don Larson. Don Larson, of course, threw the only perfect game in World Series history, and he's actually auctioning off his game-used jersey from that game. Now, I'm going to read a little bit from the article. Larson, who remains the only pitcher to throw a perfect game in the World Series, will soon be auctioning off the jersey and pants that he wore that day. If the $565,000 auction price for the jersey and pants that Barra wore that day is any indication of what Larson's uniform might fetch, the next leap into Larson's arms may be his two grandsons. "I'm auctioning off the uniform to provide my grandsons with enough money for college education," Larson said. That's crazy, because I think it could go for $1 million. I mean, if Barra's stuff went for that, I mean, the actual jersey that he used that day could easily go for $1 million in my mind. And $1 million can easily cover a lot more than two college educations, in my opinion.
I don't think it's going to go for that much, because I know in one of my articles or a couple podcasts ago that Babe Ruth jersey went for, $300,000, $400,000, I think it was.
I thought it was more than that.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe I'm just...
I thought it was in the millions, wasn't it?
It was in the millions.
Yeah, it was in the millions. Oh. I said it was ridiculous because it wasn't even signed and it was in the millions.
Well, hell with that. Sure.
I think that's right. You guys can check it out and see who's right. But, yeah, I think this thing is a little over $1 million because it's such a legendary piece of history. And I know we're an autograph show and we talk about autographs, but usually if you're into sports autographs, you're also into game used memorabilia. And that's the reason we bring it up.
QTP in the chat room says it went for $4.6 million.
$4.6 million, yeah. So crazy.
I read too many articles, I get them all mixed up.
All right, what you got, Jeremy?
All right, speaking of articles, this one's pretty good. It's coming from editor Babe Waxpack, his name is, and writers right into him with whatever. And this one stuck out. It's coming from Roland Huey, coming from Rogemont, North Carolina. He wrote, "Dear Babe, in 1951, I obtained the addresses of some Baseball Hall of Fame members. I wrote asking for their autographs. Tris Speaker and Honest Wagner sent me autographed pictures, Kid Nichols and Fred Clarkson autographed commemorative cards. In addition, I received the autographs of Joe Jackson, Larry LaJoy, Paul Wehner, Bobby Lowe, Ty Cobb, Clark Griffith, Eddie Collins, Connie Mack, and Cy Young, among others. The Joe Jackson autograph, I believe, is like most of his autographs, signed by his wife. Honest Wagner wrote on the back of his picture, 'I can't write good anymore.'" And this is coming from Roland Huey, and which is pretty cool. Babe wrote back and said it was basically a different world back then when it came to autographs, as evidenced by the responses that Roland received. There weren't as many autograph hounds then. Plus, there was no selling market, so players were not irritated about their signatures being sold online. And he goes on to say that Young's autograph is far and away the most valuable at about $2,500. Shoeless Joe Jackson was probably the work of his wife, is still valued at about around $250, which I found real interesting. So.
Yeah, it's interesting how there is a market for forgeries as long as the person is famous enough. I know I just saw an episode of Pawn Stars. Yes, I'm one of those guys. I watched Pawn Stars, and they talked about how there's a specific guy that forged Abraham Lincoln's signature back in the early 1900s, forged a bunch of them. And you could tell that they were Abraham Lincoln forgeries by the A actually lining up with the L. Abraham Lincoln didn't have the A line up with the L perfectly. But there's actually a market for this guy's forgeries, authentic forgeries, because people collect this guy's, because he's such a well-known forger that they collect those. Same thing with legends that had their wife sign for them. There's still a market for those autographs because it's their wife's signature and it's a well-known forgery. So it's kind of weird how that works. Even though it's not real, it's still worth some money. You find that a lot with a lot of older stuff. So, yeah, very cool article there. Let's go ahead and move on to the web deal of the week. And I know this is one of Stacy's favorite bands. Go ahead and take it away, Stacy.
Now, actually, when I think of this band, I think of you as the missing member.
I am a cowboy.
All right, and this is the Village People. And you can actually get to this deal at www.officialvillagepeople.com/autograph.html. And I seriously think we need to find shorter links for me to read. Every week these links are just...
You know what we may do is start making bit.ly links for those. May make it a little bit easier. But yeah, we may start doing that.
And the actual deal is you get an autographed photo on there for $5 plus the SASE. And a nice little interesting note about the Village People, besides Zane being the missing member, that they still have three of the original members still in the band, which doesn't happen a whole lot when there's a, what was there, like six people?
There's six people in the band. They're almost 40 years old. The band's 40 years old, not the people. People are obviously older than that. And I read that three obviously were originals, like you just said. Two of them have been with the band since 1979, and one joined in 1981. So they might as well almost be original members. And then one joined in 95, I think. So,
hey, Zane, would you call them legends?
Maybe.
Somebody in our chat room is drinking every time we say legends.
Yeah, somebody in our chat is actually doing a legend game where they take a drink every time I say the word legends, because I tend to throw it in a lot of explanations of autographs I get. So
what was that word again?
Legends. We're gonna get this guy drunk. So guys, go check that out. It's a pretty good deal. You do have to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, but anybody who listens to this podcast knows how to do that. So let's move on to the Mojo mailbox. And my 2 weeks sucked. Didn't get hardly anything, and did get some stuff though. Got Karen Allen, Raiders of the Lost Ark success. That actually took like a year to get back. I thought it was gone, so I don't know what happened there. Usually people get her back pretty fast, so and that just goes to show you, never give up on a TTM. We should create a song called Never Give Up on a TTM. That'd be, I mean, you could create a song out of that easily. It's a good song title, I think. Maybe not. Anyways, Robert England, obviously not. Robert England, I sent him a baseball to get signed, and he sent me back his crappy promotional card signed, which wouldn't be a problem, but he sent it back in my six-stamp envelope for the baseball, so I was kind of perturbed about that. But still, a Robert England autograph is pretty sweet, so can't complain much. Got Marty Yorkin, played Yeah on the Sandlot, signed my Sandlot stuff, and included in that was a picture that's now signed by Chauncey Leopardi, Marty York, and James Earl Jones. I guess I could send that to Karen Allen. I think she was the mom in Sandlot, so I guess that could go up to her next.
Just wait another year. That's
fine. Yeah, just wait another year to get it back. got in Jim Parsons, which was a big one. Jim Parsons, of course, Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. Bazinga! that was more of a George W. Bush impression, but signed four photos for me, which is pretty sweet. Some of them got smeared, but at least one came out really good, which that's frameable. So I got Betty White. She signed a dual signed photo with Carl Reiner, and now it's going off to Tim Conway to get signed, and hopefully it'll come back as a triple signed photo. Also
signed
got
signed by legends.
Signed by a legend? No. Also got in legend, and I can say this on this guy, Frankie Valli. He was the leader of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. Basically, he had a ton of hits back in the 60s, so he could play all night long and just play hits. And a big Ride a Star return got in the one, the only, Bill O'Reilly. I disagree with pretty much everything he says on air, but still cool to get him in. He is a respectable person in the television business, even though I don't think he should be. But he is, so I needed him for a couple projects, so it's nice to get him in. All right, Stacey, what'd you get?
All right, I'm going to go over my last 2 weeks here real quickly, but going to do a little quick tease plug. Zane got in Marty York last week, and you guys can look forward. We should be able to get to sit down with Marty York this week and get an interview done, and actually we'll have somebody else on with him at that interview too, so be on the lookout for that. I will post some more details on that when it actually takes place. Last week, I go through my top five here from last week. I got Daryl Skeels. Most of you guys won't know him. He's the Trek nerd. He does a podcast on Star Trek and is actually on a podcast I listen to quite regularly, The Morning Stream. Got in Lisa Wilcox from the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
What was the last part of her name?
Wilcox.
No, the last part of her last name.
Cox.
Oh, okay. Go on.
She's pretty legend, too.
Go on.
Next one is got Chris Novoselic in. Second, Dia Frampton, which was an in-person that Ben got me, so I was real happy with that. Woo. And the number one from last week was George R. R. Martin, signed 5 book plates for all 5 of the Game of Thrones books. This week, the top 5 got Chris Christopherson and signed 3 movie photos for me, so that was real cool. Got in a Playbill medieval play. I think I haven't seen anybody else get this one in yet. It's got Tate Donovan on it, so was real happy with that. Number 3 was Toby Keith. My number 2 was Blair Underwood, and that was via Venue from the play he's doing. And my number 1 is Glenn Mazzara, which was another Venue from the Walking Dead site. He's the head producer and writer on the show now. He took over for Frank Darabont when he left.
Cool.
That's mine. What about you, Jeremy?
All right. I had to compile a list here. Most of these are Right of Star successes.
Damn, Skippy.
Yes. I guess I'll start from the bottom here. I got Leonard Kleinrock in last week. Leonard Kleinrock is one of the inventors of the Internet.
Technically, he's the inventor of the ARPANET, which led to the Internet. Yes. So he's a key figure in the invention of the Internet. Yes. There's not one person that created the Internet.
Yeah.
That was Al Gore, actually.
What?
It's Al Gore, actually.
Al Gore? No. He actually didn't even say that, but we won't get into that. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Jeb Bush. I got Alan Alda, John Huntsman, which is also a Right of Star success, as is the Jeb Bush.
You got some Bush?
I got some Bush in. Oh, and actually, I forgot to add also, I got George W. Bush in as well. So I got 2 Bushes.
And you got Cock the other week, so.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Should see a doctor. Sure.
Cock and Bush. I'm going to butcher this name. Denai Guerrera. Guerrera. Basically, she is in The Walking Dead. She's Michonne. So I got that back. And Diane Sawyer from Right of Star. And Sally Jesse Raphael from Right of Star. And these are from my Project My America book, so I had to get them on book plates.
And Sally Jesse, I actually sent off about 6 months ago. Didn't get anything back. So I'm a little perturbed that Jeremy got something back from her. I'll have to write her again and say, hey, you know, I wrote you 6 months ago. Where's my autographs? You know, signed for my buddy. Why can't you sign for me?
You're hating.
Hating. All right, what'd you get, Ben?
All right, I got a couple Walking Deads, like everyone else. I got Jeremy Ambler and Emily Kinney, who actually wrote mine out to Bob, but my name is not Bob. got Lisa Lampanelli.
Are you sure?
They kind of look like a Bob.
Lisa Lampanelli and Barry Weiss from Right of Star Successes, both of those. And I got Lorraine Newman, and that's a personal best, I guess, for me because I'm a huge SNL fan because my dad went to high school with John Belushi, so and sort of there that I just made up.
No, did you get her TTM?
Yes.
As a Star Tiger address?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to Project Giga Week, where I came up.
What about my mojo?
Yeah, do you want to Spawn do this?
Yeah, go ahead, ready? Spawn. Go ahead and do mojo. Yeah, it's fine.
All right, I got top 5 and an honorable mention. We'll start with the honorable mention. I got Carissa Rosario again. She signed all my photos second time around.
How many photos was that?
Total or each time? Total 10 now. 10 photos. And I'm collecting stock in her. Number 5, Blair Underwood, real popular actor, been in a bunch of stuff, real popular with the ladies. So. Number 4, Marla Gibbs, that was a pretty cool one, 227. And the Jeffersons, obviously I'm going to mention one of a lady with Brianna Banks for Project TNA with Stacey, that was a cool one. Number 2, Burt Reynolds. I only sent him 1 photo. I finally sent off him, and everybody in the world's gotten this guy back. But a dual signed deliverance photo with him and John Voight. And my number 1 is James Gardner. Signed 2 4x6s, and one of them was a photo of him and Gina Rowlands. And it is dual signed. So cool piece from the movie The Notebook.
Definitely cool. Definitely cool.
One of Spawn's favorite movies.
Yeah, I admit that I've seen it a few times.
It's Rachel McAdams, dude. She's
that's
really
it. That's
that,
any movie she's been in 10 times. Those dimples just never stop.
Plus, if you see it with your woman, it's a good thing. I mean, for you later on after the movie, it's a good thing. Yeah. Let's move on to Project Geek Week. I came up short, got nothing. But Stacy, of course, got in one that I already had and one that I need that hasn't rolled back to me yet. Don't know what the heck's going on. But, yeah, Stacy, what'd you get?
I got in Ken Plume, and that's the one that Zane already got, and the one that he's talking about that he hasn't got yet is Matt Fraction, who is a comic book writer. And I've sent out quite a few of these because I got the... Len put out a new subset with the video game legends. I think it's like 17 or 18 of those, and I got those ordered. Probably got all but 4 or 5 of those sent out, so I should start having some more of those roll in.
Cool. Yay. Maybe you can catch up with my 37. But in Project BoobTube, however, again, I got nothing, but Stacy got one. What'd you get?
And that one was for Justified, and it was Elmore Leonard. He signed both of my 8x10s he sent me.
So. Yeah, you went for the easy score. But
hey, it was there. I had to take it.
We are all tied up on BoobTube. 3-3. The massive score of 3-3. So we're actually probably going to throw BoobTube to the side once we find a new project. Basically, BoobTube's there to fill some gaps, fill some time until we find a really good project. And that brings us to our next point. If you guys have an idea of a project for me and Stacy to compete on to kind of replace BoobTube, please leave that on our Facebook page. We prefer it to be like a set of some kind, like a card set. That's what we really enjoy. Hopefully people that we enjoy. I'd rather not do a sports card set, but if you know of a weird kind of set that has like political leaders or some kind of nerd set or like you guys know what I'm talking about. Just some kind of set, some set of cards that we could send out and get signed. They could be just internet cards that you print out that don't actually have real cards of anything. Leave recommendations on our Facebook page. We'll look at those, and if we see something we like, we'll go ahead and do it. So, this episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackards.com. Guys, check out Rackards if you're an autograph collector. These are a must, especially if you do IP. If you don't know you're going to get IP, you could run into anybody at a game or at a preview, at a movie premiere. These cards allow you to be ready for that event. Yeah, you could get index cards signed, but these are custom cards created for whatever sport, or even they have movie cards now that are basically a stage that you can get signed by anybody that does movies or anything entertainment related, even Broadway. So you can have these ready, and if you don't have a picture of so-and-so and they walk right past you, say, hey, can you sign this Rackers card? They're also perfect for TTMers. If you're a TTMer and you have maybe one card of somebody or one photo of somebody and you want to get more than one autograph, of course you could send index cards, and a lot of people don't sign index cards these days, or you could send these Rackers cards. They don't have just a plain white space on them. A lot of people won't sign plain white spaces. They actually have color backgrounds, a perfect spot for a signature. Go check them out, guys. Rackards.com. If you use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, one word, you'll actually get a free sample pack with your purchase. So use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, you get a free sample pack. Go check them out. Again, that's Rackards.com. All right, let's move on to the fantasy update. I dread to even hear. Wait, no, I don't dread, because we're doing awesome. Since we're actually, I guess I should mention the update. I don't think we've actually talked about the update to the Fantasy League. We have decided, as a group, this wasn't one team deciding over the other, we've decided as a group that it's not healthy for the competition for us to be involved. So the TTMs we get in, we're basically dominating the entire thing on both sides, and it didn't really matter what you guys, the listeners, were getting in. That's not fun. So basically what we did, we took all of our scores out. So me, Jeremy, Blood, and Stacy, all of our scores are out of the contest. And that makes it really close. So what are the scores, Jeremy?
All right. The current score is the Mail Day Mafia with 457 points and the Uncancelled Bastards with 440 points. Last week's score, the Mail Day Mafia, we had 61 points to 50. And this week's score, the Bastards took commanding lead this week. They beat us 64-37 for the week. But overall, The Maladie Mafia is still up by 17 points.
But I like that trend. I like the way the uncanceled bastards are going.
Everyone on the Maladie Mafia, if you're listening, please send some TTMs out. And, go on writerstar.com and get some of those successes back.
Yeah, for real, do that. I'm all for doing that, even if they are on the opposite team, because the more successes we find, the better off everybody is. I mean, once we know somebody signs, it's a good thing. Unless it gets flooded and it's somebody huge. That could turn into a bad thing, but that's just going to happen anyway. But yeah, definitely, guys, on the Uncanceled Bastards, you're doing awesome. Keep up the great work. Send those TTMs out. If you can, if you're a member of Ride of Star, send those Ride of Star successes out. I really like the way this is going. Lineup change.
It's a lot closer.
It's a lot closer, and it makes it a lot more interesting where you guys want to hear about it every week. It's not going to be such a blowout that they're like, oh, I already know what's going to happen. It's just a very good situation
I just get sick of watching Spawn's 20-minute videos and baseball cards.
we don't watch Spawn's videos for baseball cards.
I know.
We watch it for Twins, but not the baseball team.
Yes.
Okay. So on lineup changes, do you guys got any lineup changes on your side?
Stacy, we haven't talked about this. You want to keep it the same or what?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Yeah, we're going to keep the same. What about you guys?
Oh, man. Who do we have in there? Do you know off the top of your head?
I know you got Top Shelf, I think, on the bench.
Yeah, I know.
No.
But
no, I think he's – no, Top Shelf is in. It's Top Shelf.
You got Boston Sports Fan Kelvin on the bench. I'm sorry. Yep.
Well, we're gonna keep it that way this week. We may change things up next week because I can see a change we can make. But I think it'd be smarter next week. So you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So that covers the Fantasy League. Again, guys, if you're a member of the team, get to it. We want this to be as interesting as possible.
Time is ticking.
I want you guys to get motivated. Time is ticking. That's right. We only have, what, 2 more months in that competition?
End of August.
End of August. So let's move on to the TTM and graph of the week. Let's start off with TTM of the week. Last show we had Ronnie Vernelin, I think that's how you say his name. He got in Steve Buscemi TTM, a huge success. And that was actually a Ride of Star success. And Rev Linder, who got in Lou Ferrigno TTM. I'm kind of surprised by this one. I thought a lot of people would go for Buscemi, but Rev Linder was the winner. Kind of rhymes, I guess. With 70% voting for Lou Ferrigno over the 30% that voted for Steve Buscemi.
Gotta go with the original Hulk.
Yeah, I guess. I can understand that, but I figured more people would know who Steve Buscemi is. Seems like there's a younger crowd, and maybe they would lean, I don't know. Kind of surprised by it, but it's cool. It's congratulations, Rev Linder. This show, we have Drew Gare, Clohans, who got in Chuck D TTM. Now, the thing about this TTM, Chuck D actually sent him, like, 6 signed T-shirts. Stacey, if you can elaborate on what all he sent.
Well, the shirts and stuff weren't signed. He just got about, I mean, there was probably 7 or 8 T-shirts that he sent. He sent him a hoodie, sent him some CDs. I don't know if the CDs may have been signed. I know what was signed. He got 3 or 4 4x6s, but I put this in there just because of the fact of all the bonus stuff. I mean, it's just insane. I mean, it was a huge box with all kinds of extras in it.
Yeah, definitely cool. And that video link will be up under the poll. And he's going up against Xavier Chawinard, maybe. I don't know. But he got Edward Norton TTM, which is another huge success. So go vote for that, guys. That'll be on our front page. And let's move on to graph of the week. Stacey, you got that.
All right. And the last show, the battle was between Kelvin ML. He had a Nancy Reagan signed book that he got for under $2 at Goodwill. And Russell Lee with a Ricky Fowler in person. And the winner was Kelvin ML with the Nancy Reagan book. He won that 69% to 31%. So Kelvin back at it, finding those awesome book deals. And for this week's show, this is actually a pretty decent battle. TTM Central, Neary got a Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield in-person success, dual signed photo, which is really cool. And Russell Lee, once again, with a Matt Cain in person. And Matt Cain just coming off the perfect game.
Seems like we have a Russell Lee IP entry every week, don't we? And guys, if you want to be included in Graph or TTM of the Week, you have to post on Facebook. Tell us what you got, because we can't watch every video. If you get something awesome, please tell us about it. And if you're good enough, we'll nominate you for TTM or Graph of the Week. And this brings up June's Autograph of the Month. Since it is now July, officially, all the winners from Graph and TTM of the Week are bundled together in one poll to see who wins Graph of the Month. Now, who's nominated for that, Stacey?
All right, we got six of these this month. We didn't miss a week, so the six of them are... We got LB Laker 2 Rodney with his Stephen King TTM. Jeff Will with the Mickey Mantle signed book. He got a Goodwill at $1.25. I don't even know if we should do this. I think this is going to be pretty lopsided. next is Top Shelf TTM with a Mike Schmidt TTM. Steve Finch, Purple GT22 with an Alyssa Milano signed baseball. He got on eBay for $39. Revlender Brian got with the Lou Ferrigno that he just won the TTM, and Kelvin ML with the Nancy Reagan signed book at Goodwill.
I wouldn't say it's gonna be lopsided. I mean, I think the Stephen King TTM could definitely bring some votes, and the Kelvin Lee Nancy Reagan could bring some votes too.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a lot closer.
I think you're right. So guys, to vote for that, all you have to do is go to autographweekly.com. The polls are right there on the side. All the polls vote for Graph of the Week, TTM of the Week, and Graph of the Month. Please, if you're going to vote, vote for all of them. We've noticed some of the polls have more votes than others. If you're going to vote, vote for all of them, because the more votes, the more accurate it will be. Let's move on to the feedback forum. Stacey, hit us with some questions.
All right, the first one is coming from Ryan Patrick. He is asking, I've noticed on Star Tiger several instances of people writing to movie sets. And his questions are, have you ever done that with a success? And is there a good resource to find these addresses?
You want to talk about what Stefan said?
Yeah, we had a response to this on our Facebook. And Stefan, or Steven, however you say the name, he mentioned... Production Weekly is what a bunch of people on Star Tiger use. He says it's rather expensive, though, but it's pretty good results. He just says the downfall of it is that, once the stuff gets out, that the movie sets get hit pretty hard, and the odds of getting to something go down quite a bit.
And that's what the big kind of outrage in the community is right now, is basically these production addresses getting out to the public. Of course, the people who pay for Production Weekly and magazines that have these addresses in them, they pay for that, and they expect to be, kind of elite, so other people don't have them. I'm kind of under the impression, I don't know, I'm kind of torn. I can see both sides, obviously, but there are places where you can find them. I know fanmail.biz has a forum just for addresses, movie set addresses, but it's a kind of a tense subject in the community since there are, very strong feelings on both sides, whether those should be public or not. Because, once they go public, they go bad quickly. So that is kind of a hot topic in the community right now. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess it's like a private address. You find a private address, you don't want it to get out there.
Yeah, and that's why I'm kind of torn, because, I run my own private address list, and I'm thinking, well, how would I feel if I was that magazine? And that's why people bought my product, is for the addresses, and then they get released to the public. But then again, I kind of feel like if it's an address, maybe it should be. I don't think a set address would be as hard to find as a buttload of private addresses. So then I'm like, well, if it wasn't hard for the magazine to find, maybe it's, I don't know. I try to justify it where it's better for the public and everybody have access to the addresses. But in the long run, I feel like magazines kind of getting screwed over in the end run. But what do you guys think? If you guys have an opinion on this, we'd love to hear it on Facebook. Let's move on to the next question.
And this one is coming from Andrew Dees. He is asking, if you could get one entire team from the past 10 years, no all-star team or Olympic team, who would it be and what would you get signed?
I go for the 2004 Red Sox, man. I mean, they're a legendary team. That's the one team in the past 10 years that sticks in my mind of making history. So I would definitely go with them just because they won the first World Series. I mean, they had several books written about them. Stephen King actually wrote a book about him with Stuart Onan. So, yeah, huge team. That's what I'm going to go with. 10 years, TTM Central. 88 was past 10 years. But what do you guys think?
As far as mine, it would probably just be none of the teams I followed have done anything super exciting the last 10 years. So I would probably just pick one of the teams that I like or follow the most or like the most for some reason. I mean, I'm a San Diego sports fan, so it'd probably be something with the Chargers or Padres, but
you can't think of a certain year. They've sucked the last 10 years, so you got nothing. what do you guys see? Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with I'm a big Dallas Mavericks fan, and last year's championship run, I'd probably have to go with the Dallas Mavericks. I'd like to get the 2011, you know, like a team ball signed by the whole team, which would be pretty cool, I think.
I'd go the 07 New England Patriots just because it was the team that never was with the perfection and all that. So I just get them on football.
That'd be cool. All right.
I'd go with probably the same as Stacey on this one because I would probably go Braves or Cowboys in the last couple of years. If I was going to go outside of that, it wouldn't be for like my collection. So like I would go with like the Lakers, maybe like the last year Shaq was a Laker. Trent has been within the last 10 years. Then you'd have Kobe on it. I mean, that would be something that I would look to move, not to keep. So.
Dude, what about you just want the cheerleaders.
What about the like 96 Braves, man? They kicked ass pretty hard.
It's not within 10 years, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, you're right. Yeah. Dang, man, I'm old. That feels like 10 years. That feels like 10 years. Well, okay. Next question.
Next question coming from AJ Kaiser. He is asking, which autograph of yours has the coolest look?
We've discussed this before, I believe, but I think the consensus between us all was Marty Marion and Mary Costa. Mary Costa has almost a calligraphy signature. I mean, it's beautiful. If you've never seen Mary Costa's autograph, look it up right now because it's awesome. She's getting up there in age, so if you don't have her autograph, I would write to her and get it. She was the voice of Sleeping Beauty, a Disney legend, if you will. But those are the two that stand out in my mind. Marty Marion's signature just had it's very neat. It got a little sloppier, obviously, at the end of his life. He got older and shakier. But his early signature is beautiful, especially if it's signed with like a thin Sharpie. It's very, very cool. You guys think of any other really cool looking signatures?
I see so many autographs. I can't really just pick just one that
I know.
I mean, I really can't. I don't know. I don't have an answer to this one.
Griffey's signature has always stood out to me, too.
You could also take this, like, I would say, because I actually personally saw it, Jeremy, you're like the coolest look. Not maybe not just the actual signature, but like a piece, like the Boondock Saints piece, like the way those signatures all like came together and looked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like the overall look of that piece is real cool.
That's
like
true.
That would be my answer. That's how I would take it. I would say probably my Lost Boys poster, just because it's an old school poster, old school movie, and it's got like six signatures on it already.
You know what would be cool? I never thought of this. If you photoshopped your own photo, you had to be really good at Photoshop to do this. But they basically made a custom poster that had like each character's picture and then like maybe a blurred white spot under that picture for their signature, and made a whole poster just filled of like an entire cast of a TV show or something, and then went around to conventions and stuff. It'd be very expensive, obviously, but you could even send it to TTM if you had the balls. But I think that would look awesome. Just a huge poster that has a ton of people on it with like a blurred white area under their photo for a signature, and had that filled up and signed. Oh,
there's people that do that, that make custom cards like that.
Custom cards, yes. And they put the custom cards in matte pieces. But I'm talking just a literal hand-signed poster by everybody. And maybe if there's one guy that passed away or something, you can cut out like a cut signature and like put it in the white area. But like that to me would be amazing. But
you have to be good at Photoshop.
Had to be good at Photoshop, and you have to have a lot of money to go to conventions and have a lot of balls to send to TTM. So, all right, next question.
Next one coming from Ryan Michael Moberly. He is asking, what is your best autograph purchase?
Okay, I'm not going to talk about hawking. Well, I talk about hawking every show. And I talk about this a lot, too, but I haven't talked about it in a while. I'm going to have to go with Joseph McCarthy. I paid $25 for it. It's freaking Joseph McCarthy who led the communist movement back in the, was it 40s? I think it was, maybe 50s. But he passed away, I think, in the 50s. So it's a really rare signature, and I'm super happy to have it in my collection. And for $25, you kidding me? And it is legit. I checked it out. It matches perfectly with the signature. So happy to have it. It's a signed book, if you didn't know. So that's mine.
That's when Zane was on his book.
That's when I was on my book tear, man. I was tearing it up. I have an entire library thanks to that tear, that book tear I was on. So how about
yeah,
you?
I'm gonna have to go with my, this keeps coming up, but my Richard Nixon signed book, which I got for $17. Which is a steal, and it is inscribed, so it is legit.
As far as mine, it's going to be books as well. I think I'm going to go with my Bill Gates books I got. I got two books signed by Bill Gates for $50, and they both have really lengthy inscriptions on them. So,
two of them?
Yep.
I'm going to go with my, I said this before on one of my old podcasts, Clay Matthews for $2, just because I'm a huge USC fan, and then what he amounted to, pretty much.
Bud?
What did he amount to?
An awesome player. Duh.
mine, I'm going to get a book on it too, would be my Hugh Hefner signed 40 Years of Playboy book. I think it was $7 or $8 shipped.
You can always count on Blood to pick something with boobs.
Yes.
Who helped you get that book?
Zane.
That's right. And you know, when I said it has something to do with boobs, I'm talking about Hefner himself. I'm sure he has boobs by now. He's so old. Next question.
Next one is coming. There are a few of these there's like three of these in a row from Alex Joritz. First one is for Zane, and he is asking, will you ever start to live stream again?
Hopefully, yeah, it's in the plans. I mean, obviously we had the live stream planned for this show, but I enjoy live streaming. It's just the fact of having enough time to do it, because when I'm at my computer, I'm usually working on certain projects, and when I live stream, I tend to get distracted from those projects, and that's not a good thing. So as long as I have free time just to do whatever I want, yeah, definitely. But I can't guarantee anytime soon, like in the next few weeks or anything. Maybe down the line a couple months from now. Next question.
Next one is, how long did it take to get to 1,000 autographs?
I think it took me... Well, here's the thing with me, because like I was an autograph collector since like 2001, but I got out of the hobby. I just jumped back in the hobby about two years ago, hardcore. So I knew what I was doing from the get-go, so I jumped in hardcore, and that's how I got all these autographs fast. But I would say probably about 8 months. That's a guess. That was pretty slow compared to what I get now. I think back probably about 6 months ago was my hardcore stage where I was bringing in a million autographs at a time. But yeah, I think when I started, probably about 8 months. That's my guess. What about you guys?
Probably my first 1,000 probably took, I'm going to probably say a couple years, probably. A
couple days.
After all, this year, I mean, I'm my countdown to 1,000 for this year is down to like 179. So I'm close to 1,000 already for this year.
Oh, I was just talking about autographs in general, not people.
I think for my first 1,000 autographs, it probably took a couple years before I got to that point.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the Ollie Smith purchase is pretty cool too. Sorry, it's kind of going back to our last question, but I forgot that Boss actually got in Ollie and Smith and Michael Mann triple signed book. Totally forgot about that one. So
yeah,
I haven't mentioned that.
But I mean, I did pay a little bit for that. So I mean,
yeah,
I
paid a little bit for it, but it's worth so much. Like, it's actually worth, if you took the percentage of what you paid for it, what it's worth, it's a better deal than the actual Nixon.
True.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
No,
I saw that in chat, and I was like, I got to bring that up.
Yeah.
So,
for 1,000 autographs, only took me, I'd say over a year, maybe a year, a couple months. It took a while because I got into TTMs kind of slow. Basically, when I started doing TTMing in July, I basically started over again because I basically sold everything about 6 years ago. So I was basically starting from scratch. And so, yeah, I'd say about a little bit over a year, which it took.
Ben?
Mine about 3 years, just because I was a little kid. And the only time I did it was with my dad. So little kids don't really get much opportunities, you know, besides, like...
Whatever, you know, dude. Those are the little kids are the ones that get the autographs first.
But we don't keep them. Just throw a play with them and then throw them away.
You what? Get off our show right now.
And trade them for candy.
How about you, Blood?
For me, I'm assuming that we're talking about, like, different people. Like, 1,000 autographs. Like, if you're, you know, I'm thinking 1,000 different people, not, like, 4 autos from the same person counts as 4. I'd probably say, like, 6 to 8 months.
Cool. Next question.
All right. Before we go to the next question, I see a question in the chat room. This is coming from JDG. He's asking if we open our TTMs in our vehicle at the post office or wait till we get home.
That's a good question. If you get them at home anyways, then you don't really have an answer to this question. But I get a lot of mine at the P.O. box now. And I usually open them up in the car right when I get in my car. It's kind of a pain in the butt, especially when I get books in, because there's a lot of packing and stuff, and it gets messy. But with the TTMs, I instantly open them up when I get in my car. And it's either a very happy ride home or a very solemn ride home, depending on what I get. So,
you got a P.O. box because the mailman need to stop sending mail.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. How about you guys? Anybody has a P.O. box? Mail says he does.
Mine does, but I just usually... If I only get one, I'll probably open it at the post office or in the car. But if it's more than one, I just wait till I get home.
Actually, I got a question for you, too, since you guys have both P.O. boxes that I'm sure everyone else wants to know is, what do you guys pay for a P.O. box? Is it expensive or?
Well, Stacy's got the deluxe PO box. He always brags.
It's not the biggest. I have the second from the largest, and they just raised the prices. I pay for every 6 months. I think it's roughly. It used to be in the 40s, but I think they raised it. I think they raised it $10 or $12, so it's probably somewhere in the mid 50s for 6 months.
I just renewed mine, and it cost me $26 for 6 months. I have the smallest P.O. box you can get, because if it doesn't fit in the box, they have it at the desk for me. And there's no reason to pay that extra $20, $30, $40 if they're just going to hold it at the desk anyway. So I still don't understand the reasoning that Stacy has the deluxe box. We always...
Because unlike you, the USPS is my friend, and I'm trying to keep them in business.
Oh, I'm keeping them in business with all the lost mail they apparently have from me. So I'm sure they can sell those autographs on eBay or something. Anybody else have a P.O. box, or do you guys all get at home? Okay.
I don't know. I was thinking about getting one, but it's like, I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't need one, so.
Yeah. All right, next question.
The last question from Alex was, how do you explain to a person who doesn't collect autographs why you do it?
Oh, we talked about this a little bit when the show started. We haven't talked about it in a while, but the way I see it, there's autograph people and there's not autograph people. There's people that understand why people enjoy autographs. There's people that have no idea why, and it's just an autograph. Those are usually the people that leave their autographs in frames when they give their frames to Goodwill. They just don't care. The way I try to explain it to those people is, you know, we're real big fans of certain people, you know, obviously, and we respect that person's time. And what an autograph does, it shows that that person at least took 2 to 3 seconds of their day for you and signed an autograph for you. It's like almost like owning a few seconds of a person's time. It's something about it. It connects you with that person. And it's a really cool feeling. So that's the best way I can explain it to somebody that has no idea why people collect autographs. It's more of a connection thing. It's I'm going to take a couple seconds, maybe 10 seconds out of my day to sign 3 index cards for you. If I'm a big enough fan, it's not going to be index cards, but, I think that's the best explanation I can come up with. How about you? How do you guys explain it to people?
I just never really had to explain it. I mean,
people other than you guys.
Well, most of the people I'm around know I've done this for years and years and years, and they just know it's what I do.
He's that autograph dude. I get it. It's your nickname? Never mind.
I don't get it.
Like I say, I think it's the interaction with the people, you know, whether it's 2 seconds or them writing a long letter to you, I think it just it means more to us than it does to them, you know, getting those letters. I'm not saying they don't appreciate what we send them, but, you know, I think we value it more than...
Yeah, definitely. You know. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's... But it's nice. If they sign, it's usually because they appreciate their fans. I know if they didn't have fans like us, then they wouldn't be where they are today. So, I mean, there is mutual respect on both sides. It's just when you get so much of one thing, such as fan mail, you kind of become numb to it. It's like any situation. Yeah, you can be terrified of a situation, but if you're put in that situation for a year constantly, it becomes normal for you and it becomes second nature. So for a celebrity, yeah, they sign their mail, they appreciate their fans, but every letter is not some, you know, gift from God. So yeah, that's definitely a cool way of explaining it. You guys got anything else? Are you ready to move on?
I admire, just like you said, I admire their work, and then I think it's just a cool way to display, like, your favorite people, like, in your office or whatever, just to, like, have your favorite people, and you already have your autograph, so it's, like, it's just a cool way to display pieces, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, if somebody walks into your office or wherever you hang your autographs, it's a cool way to say, oh, okay, you're a fan of this person, you can kind of, actually, if you go into an autograph collector's house, you can probably get a gist of, you know, what he does, what he likes, what TV shows he likes. Just by looking at his walls, so that's kind of cool too. So that's a cool aspect I didn't think about. All right,
I would try to like switch it back on to them. Or I mean, everybody, like, I've turned a few people onto this hobby, and it's like almost everyone out there can find somewhere or like something they're a fan of, because there's so many different avenues in TTMing and autograph collecting period that you can go in, as far as sports and music and entertainment and history people, politicians, all these different avenues. So almost everybody out there, you can find somebody that, you know, they would want an autograph of, that they would actually want their collection. And that's pretty much like, oh, I didn't know, you know, those type people signed. I just thought it was actors and actresses. And
yeah,
and boom, and next thing you know, they're booked just as well as all of us are.
And that's a good way to get somebody introduced to the hobby. Also, I would add, you know, if somebody doesn't really understand the hobby, or actually, new people that come into the hobby sometimes do it just for free autographs. They're like, something free? Like, that's the whole new craze now. If you can get something free, couponing, all that crap. If I get free autographs, that's awesome. You can't look at it like that. That's not how us in the hobby look at it. For somebody that does look at it that way and just sends off for free stuff, which is not good, I urge you to go to Wikipedia. And take the people that you got in, even if you don't know who they are, take those names, Wikipedia them, and see what they've done, their accomplishments. Because there's, I mean, truly, whenever you look at your autographs and look at what somebody has accomplished in their life, it's kind of a cool connection, like I said before, between taking their time, they've done all this amazing stuff, and then they take their time to actually sign something for you. It's going to give you a new feeling about autographs that should get you to where you're supposed to be, and not just looking at it like, oh, I'm getting free stuff. So I think that pretty much covers that question. Next.
All right, there's another question from the chat, and this is coming from Quentin. He is asking, "Is what is the first thing we look for to find a fake autograph?
A fake autograph? I always look for inscriptions. That's the first dead giveaway. If it has an inscription, it's most likely not fake, but there's obviously a lot of fakes with inscriptions. It just helps the authenticity, in my opinion. But especially if it has an inscription, test that handwriting to other handwriting you see on authentic examples. Because if a forger is going to forge something, they're going to concentrate on the signature, not the inscription. And they're probably not going to try to put an inscription on there at all, because it's going to give them up easier. But if it does have an inscription, check that first. That's the first thing I check to match up how they write their R's and A's and all that stuff. On the signature, look for stutters, like hesitation. Whenever people forge, unless they're really good at it, sometimes they'll hesitate in the signature. They'll stop where the normal person doesn't stop, obviously, because their signature is fluid. But the person will stop to make sure they're making the right decision on where to go with the signature. You definitely want to look for hesitations. Those are the two main things that come to mind when I check. Obviously, you want to make sure, like, if you have maybe, like Charlton Heston has an A-R-T in his name, you want to make sure that the height on all those are the same. So I think, like, maybe the A is lower than the R, which is lower than the T. You want to make sure that that's the same in your signature, than it is in the authentic signature. So you want to check for the height of different, characters related to each other to make sure they're the same. That's all that comes to my head right now. You guys got any other tricks to authenticate stuff?
I would just say, no, do your research and know if you've got.
Say that every show.
It's the best answer, though.
Yeah, but do I mean specifically on when it comes to this? I mean, there's certain things you can look for in the signature when comparing. Obviously, it's research, but you need to look for certain things while doing your research that will help you out.
I mean, what I do is I look at in-persons, you know, stuff that I know is legit, and just compare and contrast. You know, I mean, if you see, I mean, stuff that's totally different that doesn't look right, chances are it's not. But, you know, I guess the tough thing for all of us is there are a lot of good fakes out there where...
Yeah, there are.
I mean, it's tough to tell. But,
yep.
I mean, and, even it fools authenticators, too, so you really don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing I just thought of, if there are any known secretarials or auto pens of this person, that's another thing you're going to want to check out right off the bat and compare those, because if they're exactly alike with a auto pen, you'll see it. And they may have more than one auto pen machine. I think we've run into this recently with a certain person. And secretarials, same way. I know John Travolta's secretarial. I know you guys can deny it out there as much as you want, but John Travolta is secretarial. You know, the inscription is going to be the same. The signature is going to be the same. You can recognize it. I can recognize it right off the bat if I see a secretarial John Travolta. So that's one of the main...
So Zane, hold on. So on secretarials, why is it, I guess it's a question of mine, why is it that everyone that has a secretarial, their secretarial signatures are trying to mimic what that person does?
Because, well, some of them don't. Back when Matthew Broderick had a secretary and Sarah Jessica Parker did, their signatures look nothing like their actual signatures. But I think the whole point is to convince that person they have an authentic autograph. To them... They don't give a crap about the autograph market. They don't give a crap about people having authentic autographs. As long as that person thinks they have an authentic autograph, they're happy because they think they pleased a fan. So they don't think that way. So the closer they can get to an authentic-looking autograph, the better they are. I think that's the main reason. But I think they always...
So they're deceiving
their fans. But they always, if you notice, they're basically, yeah, they're deceiving their fans. I totally feel that way. But if you notice, usually there's one... big tell in each secretarial autograph, Debbie Reynolds curved down, certain things like that at the end, that distinguish a real one from a fake one. So there's still some, I think, on the celebrities' end, some, well, I still want to know which autographs are mine if somebody asked me or I need to identify that. So you curve your signature, you curve your S down, I'll curve mine out. Certain things like that are different. I don't know if this goes on with all the secretaries, like if they discuss that stuff, or if they're just like, forge my signature, you know, and the secretary does it on purpose or mistake. But there's always that one little tell. Jerry Lewis is pretty close. That's one that's pretty close that you, if you see an authentic one and a secretarial, it's almost hard to tell. Jerry's usually a little bit sloppier. That's usually how you can tell. But, I mean, sloppiness is, it's not... consistent. So
we've always discussed about doing a secretarial PC and writing to the secretaries and have them sign their real names.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Like write to Travolta and Sally Field and people like that and say, hey, I know you're not actually Sally Field, but can you sign your actual signature, you as the secretary? See what happens. Probably just get a Sally Field autograph back, to be honest.
We should actually test that out and see what happens.
It'd be a fun little project, yes. Let's move on. We got a lot of questions.
All right, the next one coming from DJ Weatrack or something, Weatrack. What is the most bizarre thing you've gotten signed and by who?
I have a Tommy Chong signed rolling paper, which is pretty cool. You roll a fatty in. So that's probably mine. I also have the Wilford Brimley, but I talk about that a lot.
Don't you have a condom signed too?
I do have a condom signed by John Waters, which is pretty sweet. So I'm kind of getting into that weird sign stuff, unique sign stuff, kind of stretch the mold of thinking on TTMing and get those unique items signed. I think they're pretty cool. So I guess those are mine.
Mine's not going to be my damn panties I got. I'm going to go with, it's from Billy Mitchell, and this is for the chat room, the legendary gamer. I actually went to a... Hall of Fame convention. The Video Game Hall of Fame is considered to be here in Ottumwa, Iowa, and they had a Hall of Fame induction, like, I think 2 years ago, maybe, in August, that I went to, that Billy Mitchell, Steve Wiebe, and a bunch of those guys were at. And Billy Mitchell had his hot sauce. He sells hot sauce, and he signed a bottle of hot sauce for me.
Cool. How about you guys?
I really want to make a bizarre that sign. I got a sword signed by Michael Madsen, a Kill Bill sword. I don't really consider it bizarre, but that's the only thing I really have. It's out of the ordinary.
You got any panties, blood?
No panties, no.
Not yet, though. He's trying.
I'm trying, yeah. And, yeah, I'm the same way as Jerry. Not that much weird stuff. Like, all of my stuff's pretty normal. My Spawn figure's probably, like, the most abnormal thing I have. Autographed by Todd McFarlane. That's the off as I can get.
I got a signed piece of basketball by Mike Tyson. I was actually meeting some basketball players at a hotel, and he showed up, and I didn't have anything for him, where a Rutgers card would have been nice or something. So I got a piece of basketball signed by Mike Tyson because I know he doesn't sign much. So,
cool. All right, next.
Go ahead and bite your ear or something.
A signed ear by Mike Tyson. That would be awesome.
some of those Earios.
Yeah, Earios.
Stacey. Next question is coming from Michael McColtz. He is asking, how do you store signed index cards?
On my wall.
No, this question's for.
Can't you see behind me all the index cards? Well, you can't see if it's podcast. But I put most of my index cards on the wall. If it's a weird cut signature kind of thing, I put it in a photo album. But all the index cards are on my wall. It's taking over my entire wall. If you watch my videos, you see that. But that's me. It's not the best archival place for them, but I think it looks cool, so screw it.
I just have mine. It's in a Tupperware-type shelf, pull-out shelf thing I bought at Walmart, and that's what I've got mine in now.
How about you guys? You got?
I got an index card box. You can get them at, like, Home Depot. Or not Home Depot, Office Depot. They're pretty cheap, like $5.
Yeah, I got the same thing as Stacy. I got, like, a little Tupperware thing I bought at Walmart. It's like $6. Got them stored in there. So I don't have many, but I'm working on
them. I mount all mine with my photos, or if I just have index cards, I get photos with them to mount underneath them. So I don't keep mine separate. I put them with a photo of whoever the index card signed by.
All right, next.
All right, next one's coming from Joshua Mosley, and this one is for me. He's asking if he saw my website that I have signed floorboards on there. He's asking me where I got them and if I sent them TTM, how I sent them. The floorboards I just got at hardware shops we have here, Home Depot, Menards is another place. That's where I picked those up. All the ones that are on my website, the pictures were all TTMs. I just sent them in 6x9 envelopes soon. They just took the envelopes to the post office and got the proper postage on them. And that's pretty much how I handled that.
Next.
All right, next one.
We can't answer your question, Stacey.
Yeah.
Next one from Russell Lee. What TTM are you most waiting for, and how long has it been?
Ray Knight, 488 days, because I looked it up on Star Tiger. I have 475 pendings. So, screw pendings. I'm done talking about them. You guys can talk about them.
I have no idea. I mean, I've got stuff out there from... I'm sure there's stuff out there from years ago. I probably still got 50 project Deja Vu things out there that haven't come back. I mean, that was early to mid-2011, so...
Yeah, I got the same thing. Chris Christopherson, I got a couple TTMs out too. Betty White's another one. I just sent another TTM out to her. I think that makes three now. I've got some pending from last year, so I don't. Maybe she just don't like my letters or something. I have no idea, but still waiting to get her back.
All right, next. Go ahead.
Mine would be Gina Carano. I've sent her like five different times, so I sent five pendings out there, all the way probably back to last March, all the way up to about a month ago. I sent so. She needs to respond to something.
Ben, anything?
Just Zach Galifianakis. I said this before in a previous podcast, like three times now.
Yeah, I know. We get some of the same questions, and we've promised you we're going to cut down on the same questions eventually. Just not yet. Next question.
All right. Next, we got so many questions. From Kevin Wallace. Do you guys ever struggle with who to write to?
Hell no. Dude, you know how many projects we got going on? Gee, Manny, I have a pile of stuff over here I need to send off. It's just the getting the time to write off. I mean, with all the projects we do, finding people to send off to is not a problem. I think I pretty much speak for everybody on that. Mm-hmm. Unless you guys got something to add, I think we all...
No, usually...
Well, it's kind of...
Yeah, go ahead, respond.
It's kind of like a, I don't know, for me anyway, how I do my stuff, it's like a cycle almost. Like, I got my, you know, let's say 50 TTMs that are ready to go in the mail tomorrow, and then I got another, like, 30 or 40 that I'm waiting for pictures on, and then I have this list over here of, like, 20 or 30 people that I've been building for the last 2 weeks of people I do want to write to, but I just haven't taken it to the next step of ordering photos for. Like, that's my cycle. That's why I, like... Yeah, I never have a problem finding people right to it because I'm constantly looking. As I'm doing my TTMs, getting them ready to go in the mail, I'm still looking for more people to send to later down the road.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I watch other people's videos on YouTube and, you know, check their websites out, see who they're writing to. And so I'm never short of people to write to, and especially projects. I'm always, you know, having new projects come in, and Playbills, I started that. So, you know, it's keeping me busy.
All right, next.
All right, this one is Kevin Wallace as well. This is for Zane. Has anyone got a Ride a Star success that you have not been able to get?
Don't bring this up. I hate you for bringing it up. But yes, a lot of people. This bald guy over here got in David Duchovny, and that's one I really wanted, and he stopped signing right after that. Almost all of the Ride a Star successes, I maybe have only got 25% of them. I've only sent off to maybe... 25% that I haven't got in, but still, I don't send off to all the addresses I find. I find it for other people.
He's spending so much time finding them for us.
Yeah, I find I spend so much time finding addresses, hardly have the time to write to them. So, that's my answer. Next, because that's for me, right? Yeah. Next.
Yep. Trey Jones, where do you get some pieces matted, or do you do them yourself? He mentioned Jeremy in this question as well. So.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy. No, you go ahead. As I say, I get them done at Hobby Lobby. If you have a Hobby Lobby near you, it costs $6 usually to get it done with the 4x6. It's an 8x10 frame, 4x6 photo, and an index card, $6. But you can do it yourself, which Boss is actually going to talk about right now.
Yeah.
Don't go too much into detail because this can be just the tip segment for some other time. But tell a little bit about it.
Like I said, Zane goes to Hobby Lobby. I mean, he can pay a little bit more there. It's just cheaper to do it yourself. I bought my own little mat cutter and bought some mat board off eBay pretty cheap. And as long as you're good with measurements, it's pretty easy to do. So,
you're usually only used to measuring up to 4 inches, aren't you? Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the next question.
Push to
next question.
All right, the last question coming from Garrett K. He is asking... What kind of research do we do when writing to somebody that we haven't heard of or know very little about?
I like to get the gist of what a person's about, like their personality. Not the personality. You can't get a personality from a Wikipedia article, but where they stand on a lot of things, what they've done, why they're famous. I kind of like get the gist of what this person's like, so I can write the letter. I mean, once you know, kind of feel like you know a person, it's easier to write a letter. So that's what I try to do in every letter I send out. Guys, you got anything to add?
I mean, with mine, I mean, I'm usually when I send something out, I'm going to know who the person is. I mean, the only difference I'm going to say is some of the projects, some of the book projects, like the My America stuff, some of the people I didn't know anything about until I read about them. But I'll always do, like these guys have said, I'll Wikipedia, Google search these people before I write to them. So at least I have a gist of what they've done and what their work is or what they're currently working on.
All right. Next question.
That was all the questions. Don't you listen?
No, we have...
Can't you read?
I thought we had a question from Garrett, I believe, right? Yeah, Garrett, he was wondering... Wait, that's the one we just answered. Never mind, you're right! Yeah, that's the end of the question! Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. So, guys, if you have a question, feel free to email us at autographweekly@gmail.com, but we prefer to post it on our Facebook wall because it's easier to check. So just go to facebook.com/autographweekly and post the question on our wall. We always ask. We're going to try to get the question post up around Friday, because Fridays people seem to respond a little bit better, and you guys can just leave a question on that status. So that's how that works.
Those will be posted on Facebook every Friday. I'm not sure what time, just sometime on Friday, so look for those.
Okay. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Star Tiger. Star Tiger is a must if you're an autograph collector. It is the place for addresses, and actually controlling all the pendings you have out there can be a headache if you do your own Excel pages. Star Tiger has programs to control all of that. You can see your pendings all the way back from 2 years ago. You can get depressed from them. Star Tiger is, like I said, a must-have tool if you're a collector. Go to startiger.autographweekly.com. If you go to that link, it tells them that we sent you. We'd greatly appreciate it. And again, if you're not signed up, go do it. It's going to help you a million times over with this hobby. All right, let's move on to Just the Tip. Just the Tip. We're going to talk about ordering photos. We get a lot of questions about this. A lot of people don't know how to find photos and what services to use with photos. And Stacy's going to take it away first here, and we'll add some stuff after he starts.
Well, we'll just start with how I do this and how I arrange stuff. Basically, the looking for photos, basically all I do is do Google image searches. I get the list of people I'm looking for. I go to Google, do searches, do image searches, and once I find the photos, they go in a folder. Man, with the key with this, with it's just going to depend on what size photos you're getting. You're going to want to get, if you're doing 4x6s, you're going to want them at least 400x600. If you're going 8x10, you're going to want probably what, about 800x1,000? Is that,
yeah, that's
pretty general?
Usually you want at least over 1,000 on one end, whether it's a horizontal or vertical photo. You definitely want over 1,000 on part of that.
And then basically once they go in the folder and they're there, then as far, I still personally, I mean, I haven't used anything really but Wink Flash. I ordered some Snapfish stuff recently for some Geek Week stuff. I wasn't too horribly dissatisfied with it. I just hate the editing and cropping on there is just horrible. So, I mean, I'm still using Wink Flash, and the way I get around that is a lot of the stuff I'm getting from Wing Flash now is just custom stuff. I'm looking for stuff that I know I can get away with that's not going to get the copyright infringement. And since I've been, every order that I've done with Wing Flash has went through when I've been doing this, because me and Jeremy have found some customs that we've been doing, some movie customs, some TV customs.
But if you don't want to have to work around that, you can't always go to ArtsCal and wait, you know, 2 weeks to a month. But it is very cheap. It ships from Japan, that's why it takes so long. But you know what we may do? We may create a video on our Autograph Weekly YouTube page on how to do this exactly. Maybe do screenshot it. I could easily do that and post it up there for you guys to see. Don't expect it in the next couple days or anything, but down the line, maybe a week from now, I'll try to crank that out for you guys and kind of point you guys to that video whenever you ask. I believe it was Japan it ships out of. Actually, we have TTM Central talking in chat. I believe it was Japan. I'm not sure. It's over in Asia. I need to make a video showing exactly how to do this, because it's hard to explain through audio. It's a lot easier just to show you how to find the photos, download them to your hard drive, and then upload them to the site. So we'll just go ahead and do that, and I think that'll be a lot easier to point people toward a URL than telling them how to do it through audio. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, the weekly giveaway. Last show, we gave away an Adam West signed 4x6. Batman himself. He actually has stopped signing TTM, so this is a pretty big giveaway, guys. And the winner is, fake drum roll please, Don Heston. Congratulations, Don Heston. You have won the Adam West signed 4x6. Please contact us, and we'll get that out to you ASAP.
That's pretty cool. I think he's a fellow Iowan, too.
Is he? Cool. Yep. Now, this week, guys, we went a little bit loco, a little bit crazy. Since this is our first live stream show, we're giving away 5 autographs. And 2 of these autographs I'm extremely jealous of, and I want for my collection. But these autographs are a Ray Bradbury signed index card. Recently passed away, one of the greatest authors of our generation, Ray Bradbury signed index card. I believe it is personalized to Stacy. Also, a Leroy Neiman signed custom. If you don't know who Leroy Neiman is, he is the famous artist who drew a ton of sports photos, just passed away this week. A legend in his own right, and I don't have his autograph in my collection, so I'm very jealous of whoever wins this. Also, James Meredith. James Meredith was the first African-American to go to the University of Mississippi. Actually, President Kennedy was president whenever he did this, and President Kennedy put pressure on the university himself to allow James Meredith to go to this university. So a very key figure in history. James Meredith signed 4x6. A Cyndi Lauper signed 8x10. Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. A ton of hits. She was involved in the WWF back in the day. Very cool, that signed 8x10. Also, a Drew Carey signed book. A Drew Carey hand-signed book. So all of these will go to, I think, one person. Or do we want to split them up? What do you guys think?
No matter. It's up to you, man.
Doesn't matter Stacey? To me.
Winner take all, I say.
Say winner take all?
Yeah, that's
all
right. Fine.
This is going to be a big one, guys. Winner takes all. Winner gets all of these. So you're definitely going to want to enter. All you have to do is take the keyword that was hidden in today's show and post it on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/autographweekly. If you don't have Facebook, you can send the keyword through email at autographweekly@gmail.com. That's also an option. But definitely check it out, guys. If you're interested in winning any of these things, all you have to do is post the keyword. It's very simple. All right, let's move on to the sad part of our show, the deaths this week. We had several people pass away. Rodney King, famous civil rights activist. Richard Lynch, who was in a ton of horror movies.
Good TTMer, too.
Good TTMer. Fern Flamen, Hall of Fame hockey player and also a great TTM signer. Nora Ephron, Don Grady, Daryl Ackerfelds, and of course Leroy Neiman. So all of those people passed away in the past 2 weeks, actually, since we didn't do a show last week. If you guys have any autographs of these people, it'd be greatly appreciated if you posted those pictures on our Facebook wall as kind of a tribute to them. Also, guys, of course, check out the Autograph Weekly website. We have all of our information there, all of our different projects that we're going against each other with, Geek a Week and BoobTube and all that stuff, and polls and all the news and all the podcasts. Everything's there, a link to Write a Star. So go check out autographweekly.com. Also, the PC Fund. We do have a buddy, Polly Cavelli, in the YouTube community who has a rare disease. We're raising money for him, and we actually have put up an auction. It's not, I shouldn't say we. This is put up by Funky Diabetic and Big Dog 7499. They created this auction with a bunch of YouTuber autographs in it, including autographs from me and Stacy Schaefer. And it's going to have it already has a thing called Mount TTM signed by me, Stacy, and Blood, and also Mike at the Autograph Network, if you know who that is. But there is going to be a signed script from Autograph Weekly for auction. Now, it's got to get a couple places before it gets to the auction, and hopefully it gets there in time to get the auction up. But there is going to be a signed script for auction on this. So if you guys are interested, oh, there's also a patch card with my autograph on it and a piece of my shirt. So if you're interested in that, that's also up for auction.
I'm just going to add on that there is a lot of awesome stuff from other people in the community So make sure you're checking that stuff out. There's some pretty neat stuff on there.
So the link is actually auctionmycards.com. auctionmycards.com, and once you get there, you'll see a big thing that says the PC Fund. Click on that. It'll take you to all the auctions for Polly Cavelli. We'd appreciate it if you checked it out. If you're a fan of ours and you want some autographs or some cool memorabilia, you can go down there and bid. We'd greatly appreciate it. Also, check out writeastar.com, my private address list. It's not actually a private address list anymore. It's just a full-fledged address website. A lot of features. We just added a live chat, so you can talk to other members live. It's a really cool feature, and there's a ton of addresses. And I didn't even make a list of who's new this week, but we've had a lot of new successes this week. It's growing daily, so go check that out. $6 for 6 months. You can't beat it. Also, identify your autographs on Facebook. If you have any autographs you can't identify, go check that out. Just type in identify your autographs in the search bar on Facebook. Join that group, and we'll try to figure out who you got. Also,
and for everything that I'm up to, simply go to StacyShaffer.com, check out my website. I'll have a new 10-spot interview up here probably tomorrow, and that's actually going to be with Ben. So if you guys want to check that out, do that. Also, my giveaway is on there. There'll be a new one going up tomorrow. And I may start testing something with doing an actual giveaway on my actual, my personal Facebook page and my Twitter account. So be checking that out as well, possibly tomorrow.
All right. And also check out my website, theautographboss.com. I post all my daily successes on there. And I haven't been up to date with it because I went on vacation. I came home and I got sick, so I haven't really been doing anything. But please check that out. I also do update the Autograph Weekly Fantasy League points. I haven't done that in a couple days either, but I'm going to get back on track tomorrow. So please check that out.
I just actually got a new website up. I'm going to give everyone the URL. It's bmartsautographs.weebly.com. There's no apostrophe. I'm going on a huge IP trip, so I'm going to be chronicling my events and what happens there pretty much, and posting any photos that I get. And just go check it out if you haven't already.
Bud.
And mine would be signedinblood.net. That's my website. Check that out. I got my collection on there and still work in progress, but I'm trying to stay at it. And as always, on YouTube, Bloods 180.
Also, guys, check out our Twitter at twitter.com/autographweekly and our Facebook. I've said it a million times, facebook.com/autographweekly. And for the love of God, go to iTunes. It's really easy, people. I swear to God, it's easy. You just go to iTunes, type in Autograph Weekly, find our podcast, rate, and comment. Do it right now. I'll wait. Go do it. I'm waiting for you. Go do it. I said go do it. It's very easy to do. We'd greatly appreciate it. All right, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacia Schaefer. And yes, I'm still awake.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.